Okay, so I'm going to read from Mark 40 to 45. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, can you make me clean?" Jesus was indignant. He reached out his hand and he touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." Immediately, the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. "See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet, the people still came to him from everywhere. We pray. Lord, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your love and patience. I want you to ask to bless us today again with all you have good for us. Help us understand that loving you and praising you is all we need to do. Please bless Matt now while he brings us the message from your word. Amen.
Oh, sorry, I'm clicking the wrong way. Sorry, guys. So today is a story about a guy with leprosy, or they were termed lepers as almost a derogatory term as well. And in that video, we saw something of that and what that means. And we recently, as a community in the world, really, went through the coronavirus pandemic, didn't we? We're all a part of that, which affected the world, and it brought fear to many. It took the lives of many. It made people isolate themselves. It affected families. It affected communities. And it lasted a long time, didn't it? And we've come out of that. But having the coronavirus in 2021, even with it was terrible for many people, was nothing compared to living with leprosy in the ancient world. Leprosy was renamed the Hansen's disease. So if you Google leprosy, you would come up with the Hansen's disease. And that was renamed in 1873 when a Norwegian scientist, Gerard Henrik Emer Hansen, I think that was right, discovered the slow growing bacterium known as Mycobacterium leprae as the cause of this illness. And since that time, medication has helped massively with this illness. But still today, they say around 200,000 people in the world have this Hansen's disease or leprosy. But let's say 2,000 years ago, let's say Dave Corrick got a rash 2,000 years ago. He would have had to go to the priest. So say he was a Jew and he was part of Israel community. He would have had to go to the priest to get examined. And there would have been a standard period of isolation because that rash could have turned out to be eczema. It could have been a reaction from something he ate or some kind of plant. But there would have been a period of isolation. And then if they had gone away over this period, then that's fine. Dave could have gone back to Anne, which I'm sure Anne would have enjoyed the break. But Dave would have gone back to his community and his loved ones, and everything would have been fine. But if after that time the rash remained with Dave and then there was different signs of leprosy, then this would have been the beginning of the end. This would have been the beginning of the end for Dave's life. And then in the Bible is a book called Leviticus, and in chapter 13 and 14, God gave instructions to help the whole community when people sadly had leprosy. This effect of sin that came in the form of leprosy, and it wasn't to spread to other people. And so Leviticus 13 and 14 In one sense, it sounds harsh, but this is to protect the wider people. It says, as for the leper who has the infection, his clothes shall be torn, and the hair of his head shall be uncovered. And he shall cover his moustache and cry, unclean, unclean. And he shall remain unclean all the days during which he has the infection. He is unclean. He shall live alone outside of the camp. And so once this happens to someone, effectively it's kind of game over. Family, they would have to move away from their family. They would have to live away from their family. They would have to live outside the camp. And it was to protect them. They didn't want to pass on that disease to their loved ones, to their children, so they would have to live outside the camp. The only other people that they would live with then would become the family would have been other people with leprosy. So that would have become their family. Spiritually, they weren't allowed to go to the temple. They weren't allowed to go to the synagogue. They weren't allowed to go to any religious festivals. The priests, or they wouldn't have had a chaplaincy team or anything like that. They would have been cut off spiritually from everyone. Externally then, how do they look like? This is a modern day example today, but externally, leprosy begins as small red spots on the skin, but before too long, the spots would have got bigger and started to turn white with a shiny or scaly appearance. And that's leprosy is a Greek word for scales, almost like a snake. The spots soon spread over the body, and hair would then begin to fall out, first from the head and then even from the eyebrows. As things got worse, fingernails and toenails become loose, and they would start to rot and eventually fall off. Then the joints of fingers and toes began to rot and fall off, piece by piece. And to make it worse, it was known to have a horrific rotting smell. So that's horrific, isn't it? Like the external smell, the external effects of this person. And then internally, so that's externally, internally, cardiovascular disease or CVD and organ failure are major causes of death. So this would effectively cut down your immune system, and it would be the reason you would die for leprosy patients. But also, sadly, even today, many people would lose their lives through suicide. They would say they've got no hope. They've got this disease. They've got no hope. And so people would end their lives. And finally, society for these people then. So in order to avoid affecting others, lepers were quarantined, legally forbidden to live in any Israelite community. The book of Numbers talks about that. According to the Talmud, so one of the Jewish books, the closest a leper could come to someone without the disease was 6 feet. So that's the closest they could come to someone. But on windy days, because they thought that it was transited through the air and through touch, on windy days, the distance was extended to 150 feet. So just to be close to someone was 150 feet. And if a leper saw someone, like for instance, if when we see someone, don't we, that we know, or you're walking down the street and you see someone, especially if you're from the valleys, you'd say hello, or all right, but, or something like that. So you would greet one another, if you know. And so you would say that. And if someone says that to you, even if you weren't going to greet them, you would often then say hello back to you. Imagine when you saw someone new for the first time, imagine your first words always had to be unclean, unclean. Like that was their first words. Instead of saying hello or how are you or greeting, they'd have to shout as a warning, unclean, unclean. You can't come near me. You need to protect yourself. I can't be near you. And so that just separated. So this is a horrific disease, isn't it? It was one of the most feared diseases in the ancient world for someone to get was leprosy. And so that's, I just wanted to give you some background of that, because Mark 1 first says, says, now a man with leprosy, or Luke's account says, a man full with leprosy. So he'd had this for a long time. It affected his whole body. And so this is the story. But then it says there, a man with leprosy came to him, came to Jesus. And so if you've just heard what I've just said, this guy has just broke the law. This guy straight away has just broke the Jewish law simply by coming to Jesus. And with him coming to Jesus, he could have got stoned or killed on the way from coming out of his community. But he must have heard something about this Jesus and what he's doing, and he thought, this is worth my life. The risk is worth my life. He had a bit of faith, and he would risk it to come and break God's law, to see if this was the Messiah, to see if this guy could make him clean, to see if this was, could, if God could heal this person. So this guy had faith, and he came to Jesus. And it says there, and imploring or kneeling down to him, or some translations came, and he bowed down before Jesus. So even though he broke the Jewish law, he came in reverence. He broke the law, but he came in reverence. Luke's account said his face was on the floor. Like his face was on the floor, not even looking up. Maybe not looking up because he didn't feel worthy, or not looking up because he didn't want his breath to infect Jesus. He didn't want to pass on anything to Jesus. He didn't want to look up and cause this to Jesus. And the disciples who recorded this story, and that's why I think the video is really good, isn't it? The disciples, when they saw, they were afraid. They were like, how dare you come near us? Like, they were fearing for their lives. They were covering themselves. They didn't want to be near this leper. They didn't want to be near these guys. And for them to be, this guy to be encroaching on their rabbi, they were like, how dare you? Like, how dare you come near us? So they could have been angry or feared for themselves. But this leper says to Jesus, so he came to him and said, if you are willing, like, if you are willing. And in that day, everyone knew only God could heal a leper. Like, this didn't happen often. In the Old Testament, it's only recorded twice. God was the only, and those times were only through God intervening. So this leper, by saying, if you are willing, had a faith in Jesus that not many people did right then. He had a faith that he could heal an incurable disease, and a faith that only God could heal. And he says, if you are willing. But there was no cure. No one got better. And this guy had faith. It could have been desperate faith or last chance faith, but this guy had faith. And in the Old Testament, there's a story of a prophet called Elijah, and we sang this song today, these are the days. And Elijah is one of the only ones who listened to God's instruction and God healed this guy called Naaman. And there was an amazing miracle, and because it's such an amazing miracle, it's written down in God's word. But that and one other is the only time that a leper was healed. And so this guy was maybe thinking, is this guy like John the Baptist? Has he come as John the Baptist? Is he another prophet? Could this guy heal me like Elijah did? But he says, if you are willing, you can make me clean. He says, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Remember what someone with leprosy had to say to someone when they first met them? What did he say? Unclean. And he had to shout it. He had to shout, unclean, unclean. Like, that was his first words to every conversation. Unclean, unclean. And so when he saw Jesus, he said, if you are willing, you can make me clean. You can make me clean. He didn't say, if you are willing, you can heal me. He said, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And loads of people, as we go through this book of Mark, loads of people came to Jesus and got healed. And this is amazing. This is great. And we want that today, don't we? We want to see God's healing power move today. We believe that it still happens today, that God's gracious healing power is still for today. And And Jesus healed so many people when he was physically hurt, and he still does. Yet many people in the Gospels, Jesus must have healed thousands of people, hundreds, thousands of people. He must have fed thousands of people. He must have cast out demons of hundreds, if not thousands, of people. He would have cared for people. He would have spoke to people. Like, the numbers must be in the thousands of the amount of people Jesus healed and helped. And yet, when Jesus was risen from the dead and ascended, there were only 120 left. There were only 120 waiting for him, praying in the book of Acts on the day of Pentecost. There was 120 still seeking God. And so sadly, many people who got healed physically from Jesus walked away spiritually unclean. Even though they got physically healed, many people walked away spiritually unclean because they didn't ask for forgiveness. They didn't ask to be made clean. They asked for healing and to go on with their day. And healing is available in Christ today. We want to be praying for that. We want to be believing to that. But this life is temporary. Sadly, there are going to be coughs and colds and things that unfortunately will end our lives because of the effect of sin. So eternal cleaning is far more important than temporary healing. Eternal healing of our sins, eternal cleaning of our sins, is far more important than temporary healing of our physical healings. And maybe that's a sign of our days, when there's 100 people here on a Sunday wanting to be eternally cleaned, and hundreds who go to the doctor's surgery every day looking for physical, temporary healing. And Jesus can offer both, but eternal cleaning is way more important than physical healing. And then verse 41, so all this happens. The guy breaks the law. He comes, he kneels down before him. Maybe his disciples are angry. And now he's saying, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And verse 41 says, Jesus was moved with compassion. Like, he was moved with compassion. If people saw a leper, or even if me and you were there back those days, sometimes we can read the Bible and think, oh, I wouldn't have acted like that. But if people or we saw a leper, they would have been moved with fear. They would have been moved with fear, or they would have been moved with anger. Like, how dare you come near me? But look at Jesus, and look at God's reaction when he sees a leper. He was moved with compassion. Like, he was moved with compassion when he saw this leper. When the effects of sin in a broken world had broken his body, made him ugly, made him smell, made him isolated from everyone else, made him broken, made him contagious, all these things. And yet God, what does God have? God has compassion. God has compassion for this person. And it challenged me, like, we've got to allow ourselves to be moved with compassion by the Spirit of God, don't we? Like, we've got to be moved. Many non-Christians do amazing, compassionate things. Many people who don't know Jesus do amazing, compassionate things. And they do that because they're made in the image of God. We believe that everyone is made in the image of God, but also everyone is a sinner. So we can do good, kind, loving things because we're made in the image of God, but also we can do hateful, prideful, jealous things because of the effects of our sin. But so many people who don't have Jesus can do compassionate things, and yet they don't have his Spirit. And so for us who've got his Spirit, the Spirit of God who moves compassionately, like, even if our flesh doesn't feel like it, we need to allow God to move in us, to move compassion on us. So when we see people, that we can see people in God's eyes, that we can have compassion for these people. I know I need that. I know sometimes I see people and just want to avoid people or kind of want to get on with my day or I've got things to do. But will we allow God to move with compassion in our hearts for the people in front of him? And then it says this, so he moved with compassion, and then it says, and then he stretched out his hand and touched him. He was moved with compassion, and then, remember, this guy is on the floor now, with his head on the floor, asking to be made clean. Jesus says, he has compassion, and he says, I am willing, and he stretched out his hand. Jesus stretched out his hand and touched this guy. Now, as Christians, we believe that Jesus is perfect, that he never did anything wrong, but also, like, he didn't go against the law. He fulfilled the law. He didn't say, oh, the law is rubbish, I'm going to do anything. Like, he fulfilled the law, and he never sinned. And so if there were Pharisees around on this time, often there's Pharisees chasing around Jesus, almost like with a little notepad, waiting for him to do something wrong, or waiting for him to do something that they would question or write down. If they saw Jesus touch this guy, they would have thought, we've got him. Like, we've got him. Like, he knows he's not allowed to touch a leper. Like, we've got him. He's broken the law. So, we've got him. And if Jesus had touched the leper and he remained a leper, then he would have broken the law. If Jesus had touched the leper and he would have remained a leper, he would have broken the law and he would be of no good to us. Like, because he wouldn't be perfect. He wouldn't have fulfilled the law. He wouldn't be perfect. If he had done that, like, he would be no good to us. But when Jesus spoke and touched the leper in that instant did not remain a leper. In that instant did not remain a leper. In the video, it helps us as it gradually, but for me, as he speaks and touches him, in that moment, it is gone. And so when he touches him, as he speaks the word, the leprosy is gone. Immediately, it's out of him, so he doesn't break the law. Jesus healed many people in many different ways, but here he chose, and this is a specific choice for him, to touch the man. He could have spoken the word, couldn't he? He could have said, I am willing, be clean. He could have done that, couldn't he? Or he could have been a far distance away, or he could have even just thought it, and this person would have been clean. But and this guy, but since this guy had leprosy and he was in an advanced stage, what hadn't this guy experienced for years? This guy hadn't been touched for years. Like, no one had been near him for years. The only other people he maybe spoke to were other people with leprosy. Like, this guy hadn't felt the loving touch for years and years. And so Jesus makes a point. He doesn't just say it, but he puts out his hand and he heals him. The compassion to understand that. And he heals him with a loving touch. And he said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him. And he was cleansed. And in Mark 2, in another story that actually we're going to look at maybe next term, Jesus heals a paralytic man who his friends brought him through the roof. They broke the roof and then put him down. And Jesus said to him, get up, your sins are forgiven. And then again, the Pharisees are saying, like, you can't say that. Only God can forgive sins. Like, we've got him again. Like, we've got him. This guy's a blasphemer. But Jesus replies, In Mark 2, verse 9, says, which is easier, to say to this paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take your mat, and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive the sins, to forgive sins. Jesus is saying, like, this temporary stuff is impossible to you, but I can heal it. But even more than that, even more impossible, I can forgive sins. Even greater, I can forgive sins. So healing this leper, like, was an incredible miracle. Like I said, it just didn't happen. So this would have been an incredible miracle for the whole people. But making him or making us clean of our sins is even greater. It's even greater. Like making us clean of our sin is even greater. And then finally it says, and then, which is quite a strange ending, isn't it? It's an interesting ending. He says, and he strictly warned him. So he just healed this guy instantly of an incurable disease. I'm like, what next? I don't know about you, but I would have said to him, go and tell everyone. You know, I would have said that, like, oh, tell everyone that I'm the Son of God and that I just did this so everyone can come and believe that I'm the Son of God. That's what I would have said. But he says the opposite. Look at this. He says, and he strictly warned him and sent him away at once. And so strictly warned him. He commanded him, some of the translation said, and sent him away and said to him, see that you say nothing to no one or to anyone, but go on your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them. As a testimony to who? As a testimony to the priests, to the religious leaders. Like often in the Gospels, we see Jesus having conflict with religious leaders, priests, Pharisees, Sadducees. Yet, like, he loved these people. He was angry with them because they were almost preaching a false gospel because their hearts had been turned because they were into the law more than people. So he was angry, rightfully angry with those people. But these people knew the word of God. Like, he wanted them to change. He wanted these people. So he wanted this to be a testimony to the priests, to the people who understood this more than everyone. He wanted this to be a testimony to this. Jesus did this first to honor the law of God. Like I said, he didn't come to break the law. He came to fulfill the law. But also as a testimony to the priests that an incurable disease had been cured. And since, one theologian said, since lepers were never healed, these priests would have never conducted this ceremony. They would have been going through the book of Leviticus and say, like, what do we do? No, like, lepers don't get healed. Like, so what do we do? Actually, the way they did leprosy, because it was so rare, is they would have dealt with them the same way they dealt with dead people. Like, that was the ceremony. And yet this person was alive. So what do we do? This is amazing. So what do we do? And so Jesus, when they look up the procedure, it would have been a strong witness, hopefully, to show them that the Messiah was among them. That this Jesus, he wasn't just casting out demons or healing people with the flu. This Jesus was doing unbelievable, amazing, never heard of things before, that God was healing these things. And then finally it says, however, he did the opposite than he, this guy. And you can't blame him for him. I don't blame him for this. But he says, however, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter. Which, to be fair, I think that's okay. Like, I think we would have all done that. But look at the consequences of that, though. It says, but then Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but then was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every direction. Because this had never happened before, because this had never been heard of before, not just demons or healing flu, like that stuff had happened. The leprosy part had never, people would never experience this before. This was a different level. So much so that when people heard that, like the floodgates opened. Like people traveled, like he couldn't go to the city. He couldn't go to the city because the amount of people who had now heard of it. He had to go to deserted places. And even though the man meant well, and might have thought he was helping Jesus, he actually played a part in hindering the ministry of Jesus because Jesus could no longer enter the city. But here is the cross. Like, here is the cross. Here is the cross of Christ in this story. This man was outside of the people, outside of the city of God, isolated, infected. He was unclean, and he was desolated to be there, not just temporarily, but eternally, like he was outside of the city. And what happens? He comes and meets Jesus. And what does Jesus do? He makes him clean. He makes him clean. And then this guy who was outside then comes and he's back with the people, back in the city, back amongst, he's restored, he's made clean. And what happens to Jesus? He has to go outside. He has to then go outside. He has to go to the isolated places. He can't be in with everyone else. He has to do that. And there's the cross. There's the cross where us as sinful people who are far away from God, who have done things against God, who would say that we are unclean. This room is full of people who've come to meet Jesus and we've said, if you're willing, can you make me clean? And what has he said? He said, I am willing. So much so that you went to the cross for us. And instead of us going to the cross, instead of us being eternally separated from God, he took on our punishment, on our sins. And so we can trust him. And in his trusting him and following him, we can have eternal life. And so he swapped places with us. And even though this guy, for him to heal, for Jesus to make this guy clean, didn't just affect that. Like, it affected the next 3 years because he couldn't do certain things. Like, this affected things. But he was saying, Jesus said, I'm willing. Like, I'm willing. Like, you're worth it. You're worth it. And Jesus says that to you today, that I am willing, that you are worth it. And so if you're feeling unclean, like we're in the right place. If we just want physical healing, which we do, and we need to pray for that, but if we just want physical healing, we'll spend more time in the doctors than you. But if we want eternal cleanliness, then we're in the right place because Jesus can make this whole with that. We're just going to finish with a song, and the band are going to come and lead us now. But let me just pray. Yeah, Father, we thank you so much for your compassion, Lord. Lord, that even today, Lord, even if it's as people we've known you and loved you and walked with you, Lord, we still know we do things that displease you, that hurt your heart, that walk away from you. But as we heard earlier, Lord, your blood can cover all our sins. And so, Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, that you will make us clean. And we thank you that you can make us clean, that you have made us clean. We can stand here in your righteousness and not our own. And we just pray for this area, Lord Jesus. Lord, this area, Lord, that is just looking for physical healing instead of eternal cleaning, Lord. We just pray, Lord Jesus, for this area, that you convict this area. Lord, may they come to you and say, if you're willing, can you make me clean? We pray that, Lord, that you will overwhelm this area with the desire, Lord, to make them clean of their sin, for you to become their Savior. And Father, we just pray, Lord, for that you will give us hearts of your compassion. Lord, forgive us when our hearts get hard. Forgive us, Lord, when we're selfish and we want to do our own thing. Lord, we pray right now, even in this last song, that you will fill us afresh and give us your heart of compassion to move and to minister to those in front of us this week. For your kingdom and for your glory, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.